The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. 5 o'clock, just after.
Hey!
Heavily pending a heat Tampa Bay. Comes back to Byron McCross. Scores! Nathan MacKinnon! Up ahead, Manson. 3-on-2. MacKinnon tried to get it back. Shot scores! Arturi Lehtinen!
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Cup is on tour. By the way, somebody is suggesting we have another song called Where in the World is Stokely, San Diego?
That's good. Took another day off, man. It was a hell of a run he had, though.
It was one whole day, wasn't it?
He was here for
2 days? Was he here for a week?
Maybe.
A whole week, was
it? It could have been a week. That is...
No, he could not have been on for a week straight.
I mean,
there's
Iron Man and then there's Stokely. You know, that is an impressive streak.
Chris Bryant thinks Stokely's soft. We kid because we love.
Well, you had to go fly fishing today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was fly fishing.
Yeah, today was fly fishing.
Oh, well, then, okay.
So it was Scotland the week before. I think it was Phoenix before that.
Fly fishing.
Yeah.
Fly fishing.
Yeah, but it was a family excursion.
Oh, with his family?
Yeah.
Oh, he was going fly fishing with his family?
Yes.
Oh, well,
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you didn't say fly fishing with his family. Well,
I know.
Don't want a job.
Keep it real. Zach's probably, is he more natural, more comfortable? Like, does he feel like he's at work when Stokely's not there, or does he feel like he's at work when he is there?
It's a good question for Zach Vi. Thanks to our listeners in Longmont for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. By the way, we did have our guy Mike Chambers on earlier, and they were talking about that for a lot. We talked about it, too. And as the story goes, and you can listen back to our podcast, Mike was literally handed the trophy by Gabe Landeskog, and Gabe Landeskog said, put it up there. And that's how that got out there. And then Mike said he probably, he has some second thoughts about putting it out there on Twitter, but he doesn't regret the moment.
No, I'm really glad that we had him on. I was crushing him earlier in the show, like a lot of people have been, because it was not a great look to see a media member hoisting the Stanley Cup above his head, like in celebration. But I did give the caveat multiple times. You'd vouch for me. People on the text line are like, oh, Plumbus, you're backtracking. No, I'm not. I'm not backtracking. I said many, many times that there's one caveat. If one of those players, and I specifically even said Gabe Landeskog's name, if Gabe Landeskog was holding that trophy and he handed it to him, yep, and he told him to pick that thing up,
yep,
that's okay. Because a player not only invited you to do it, he told you to do it.
Hey, do you think... or do you know when you're going to be close to the Stanley Cup right now?
I think I'll be close to it soon.
So it's a think, not no.
Well, I know that I'll see it, but I don't know the date.
So it's a no. Like, you're going to...
I've been told I'm on the invite list.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Will you pick it up?
No, I won't.
Why not?
I'll probably touch it. I'll probably, put my hand on it, take a photo. But no, I won't pick it up. I mean, we've been down that road. It's different. Like, picking up a Lombardi trophy, that's not a big deal to me. First off, it just doesn't have the same history that the Stanley Cup trophy does, but it's smaller. You see it at Shanahan's restaurant every now and then. He's got some out. Now, those are replicas, I think. I hate to break it to you. But if you get an opportunity, you take a photo with it. You pick it up. But no, I won't pick it up, because to me, there is an assumption when you specifically hoist it that man, this is mine. Yeah, I earned this thing. Whereas taking a picture with it? No, you're just being a fan.
All right. What about this picture with Logan O'Connor? And boy, I don't know if it is, but I would kind of assume it's his dad.
Is Logan O'Connor not in the picture?
Would you, if you were in the picture with somebody connected to the organization?
Oh, if I was invited by any member.
You're invited and they say, raise it with me. Would you?
100%.
100%.
Because that's an invitation.
Okay.
But I would never make an assumption that I'm allowed to do that.
Okay.
If they invited me to take a big old gulp out of it, you're darn right I would take a gulp out of it.
I can't wait to see it.
By what would you
do? Well, it'd be hard to turn down if somebody connected to the team invited you to do it.
Oh, I mean,
it'd almost be insulting to not do it if you were invited to do
it. Well, devil's advocate, if somebody invited you to do it, what good reason would there be to not hoist it?
If they asked
you to do it?
I couldn't think of one.
Yeah, either could I.
No, I can't think of one. I think it'd be fun.
I mean, you're being respectful to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't know what the side. Well, I do actually know one set of circumstances that I would like to be part of. I do, selfishly. And if they take it to the top of a 14er, I would love to be invited to cover that. I'd love to do that. That is the one photo that sticks with me all this time, all these years.
So who did that?
I think it was like the guys in the equipment, like equipment managers.
Oh,
or
that makes sense.
That.
Okay. So probably like some Colorado guys that have been here.
And I believe
that
there were like
something unique with it.
I think there were like six or seven of them. And they all took turns.
How do you carry it? Seriously.
Backpack. There was a whole story about it.
They prepared
for it. They practiced.
How do you
put
that in a backpack?
They had a special backpack made for it. They
wow.
had a special like sort of thing made for it to carry it.
Okay.
How cool is that, right? Like, it was planned out. They got it a little bit deeper in the, you know, it goes around to everybody sort of thing. And it was a great story, and I remember the picture. Boy, it might have been the Rocky Mountain News back in the day. And it was just spectacular. And it was on top of Mount Elbert, which is the highest of all the 14ers.
Cool.
And frankly, Mount Elbert is it's a goat path. There's nothing technical about Mount Elbert. It's just, you know, it's a long day. It's a long way to go.
Sure,
but
sure.
there's nothing, you know... I mean, you could get a lightning strike, but we already avoided that.
Ah, duh, duh, duh.
See what I did there?
Rim shot.
D-Mac would bathe in it. Bathe in it?
You could. Now, that was a rim shot. That worked. I don't think KJ... I think KJ was playing that for your rim shot, but that worked out perfect for the texter.
That would be funny. How did D-Mac like the message Nazem Kadri to kiss his butt ass if they thought he was a liability? I thought that was great. I think Naz was going through some wild things. The first thing that Naz was going through was letting his teammates down by getting himself suspended last year. That's the first thing, and he wrote about it. He wrote about how painful that was and how bad he felt about it, all that. And that definitely came up. Because the one thing is, it started with Nashville. What did we hear about Nashville? Get them off their game, right? Be physical with the ass, all that. Led the league in penalty minutes, Nashville, all that sort of stuff. And that's where Bednar uttered, you know, it's not about ego, it's about winning. And they just stayed away from all that garbage.
And he told them to skate away. That was the message that all the guys were told, and they relayed that to the team. You know, Nazem Kadri, I know what he said there. And D-Mac, I am as big of a Nas fan as they come. I might even shed a tear if they're not able to re-sign him. I mean, just absolutely fell in love with the guy. How could you not? I actually don't believe him, though, that he was fully confident in himself that he wasn't a liability. I mean, I think if you really got him in an honest moment, he had to prove it to himself. Why did he write that article when the playoffs began in the Players' Tribune? Because it was on the top of his mind. Mm-hmm. And he knows the pain that he caused to other people, the hurt to his own team, the hurt to himself. That was on the top of his mind. I think he had to prove this to himself as much as he was trying to prove it to anybody else.
Well, I know this about Kadri. He was absolutely critical in winning the Cup this year. No doubt about it. They needed him. They had to go through a few games without him as he was going through that injury. They hung in there the best he could, and then look at him. He comes back and scores an overtime winner.
You know, this is definitely not me calling you out. You were not alone. There were tons of people.
Me.
But think back to where we were a year ago talking about Nas, and you were very hard on him. And as a lot of people were, justifiably so, that he let his team down.
Oh, well,
and Yeah. This is not me calling you out at all. And I was probably doing the exact same thing. I really don't even remember. I just remember you. But if you think about the transformation that he's had going from a guy that really was kind of villain for his own fan base. Not only was he a villain on other fan bases, he was a villain right here in town to becoming an absolute hero that is worshipped, played fantastic hockey the whole year long, overcome the adversity, the racist stuff out there in St. Louis, played great hockey. He went from a villain in his own town to being worshipped. You know, Garrett Bowles went from a bad football player to good football player, but I wouldn't say people looked at him like he was a villain. He's got an insanely unique story, Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, the only reason, it's a weird one. It's like when you talk about a player having trade value when a season is sort of lost for him, it's not an insult. It's a compliment. You're that valuable. When you talk critically about somebody doing something to get suspended, it's not because you don't like him. It's because you do like him and you need him. And you got to be smarter than that. And he was smarter than that. And Kadri has been great, and I really, really hope they figure out a way to get him back here next year.
Can you think of anybody else that went from villain to hero like that? I mean, Garrett is the closest I could come up with, but I'm not sure he was a villain.
Bowles was hated.
Hated?
Hated.
Yeah. Is that a villain?
I think so. I mean, if you're hated.
Similar. But Nazem Kadri, there was never a doubt in his abilities, like in his ability to play hockey. No, nobody doubted whether he could play the game. It was just whether he was going to do dumb things or not.
I mean, Bowles was being booed by 70,000 people at home.
In the zone. GB zone.
I've actually never seen an athlete here in Colorado get that kind of treatment of you.
I mean, I've seen athletes get booed, but I've never seen an offensive lineman. My entire career.
Name me another home athlete that you've heard get booed like Garrett Bowles.
I don't know. I mean, Peyton Manning got booed off the field against the Chiefs right after he broke the record.
All right.
So, I mean, boos happen all the time. Teddy Bridgewater got booed. Drew Locke got booed. Boos happen for sure.
But like with Bowlesy?
That was very unique. It was unique, and specifically because it was an offensive lineman.
D-Mac wanted to cut Kadri. I don't know about that. Cut him. Cut him.
You actually did.
I said cut him?
Yeah, you were really mad at him. But I get it.
I mean, cut him?
A lot of people were.
He's my favorite player now.
I'm not going to actually. It's cool. Me too. It's cool. You know what? Stuff changes.
He's my favorite guy now.
Yeah, and by the
way. That's all you need to know now.
It's okay to change your opinion. Because at that point in time, you were working on the information that you had.
Yeah, right.
And things have changed.
Have you seen the Unrivaled documentary?
So I've heard so many great things about it, and I've not watched it yet. I will.
I'm not a fan of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
It is, to me, in my opinion, bizarrely slanted towards the Red Wings.
Okay.
I mean, you make up your own judgments about it.
Well, give me details. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'm not. I've got no opinion.
Avalanche are the worst team in the world. They're dirty. They provoked everything. They got what was coming to them. The Red Wings are the greatest team since sliced bread. And then, you know, they go into the Konstantinov injury, which is terrible. He got in a limo accident. So he was out. They were at a golf event 6 days after they won a cup 1 year. And he was in a limo. So he had been drinking, but everybody was drinking. But he was in a passenger in a limo. And the limo driver caused the accident because he had a spotty driving record, and he went to jail for 9 months because of it. And Konstantinov was permanently brain damaged because of it. Didn't die, he's still alive now. But they went into that deeply, and you know, all of a sudden, you really think the Avs are bad. Like they are the enemy in this documentary, in my opinion. And I really don't think it showed two sides of the coin there. I think it was completely slanted towards the Red Wings. In fact, it made me wonder, who did this? Who is what writer or sports fan from Detroit produced this?
Interesting.
So sure, it was interesting to go through the rivalry and see everything.
Well, I want to watch it just to remember everything.
You should see it.
Go through it all again.
All right, don't let me say that. It wasn't boring, it wasn't made up. It was a real documentary. But I'm watching, I'm like, wait a second, what the hell's going on here?
So I got to play golf with Patrick Waugh a couple times, and I felt like such an idiot because I know what it's like to have people come up and talk to you about the exact same things over and over and over again, and it's so predictable. You meet somebody, and it's fine, come up and talk to me. Like, I love it, it's cool. But you know what they're going to ask you about. But man, I was playing golf with him on one hole, and it was like a split fairway. If you go right, you could have a real easy shot at an eagle. But
it's
a tough hole. But it's a tough landing spot. You go left, it's super easy. You should get a par.
Right.
But so you don't really want to go right unless you're dialed in.
Right.
I'm like, all right, Patrick, which way are you going? And he's like, I'm going left. I'm like, what? You're going left? Come on. Dude, you're my hero. Like, that's not the guy I know that was coming out of net and fighting people.
Did you say that?
Heck yeah, I did. And he had a hilarious response. He slowly, like extremely slowly, turns around, like a little bit irritated, probably. Like, hey, listen, young punk, like why are you annoying me with the same stuff that everybody talks about? Turns around and he goes, it's called maturity. It's maturity.
That's fantastic. Well, in the documentary, they've got Patrick saying, hey, it was when his fight against Osgood, who was a small dude. He fought Vernon and Osgood. Vernon's a bigger guy. Osgood's a small little dude. And he was like, yes, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. And, you know, we got to win the games and all that. And the Avs did win plenty of games against the Red Wings. They just didn't show many of them. It was all just about how amazing the Red Wings were and how incredible Darren McCarty is. And Claude Lemieux's a jerk that still is, you know, still hasn't, you know, asked for forgiveness from Chris Draper. And Draper doesn't want Lemieux. And it's like, man, oh, man.
You know, I get how long it's been, but as a local Denver kid, I hate the Detroit Red Wings more than I hate the Raiders. And I played for the Broncos. But we didn't have that type of rivalry when I was playing there. It's just been so long. But I've got more hate for the Red Wings still today than I do for the Oakland Raiders. Not Oakland. Where are they at? Vegas.
Whatever.
Yeah, you knew what I meant.
Totally. Yeah, man, and you were... All right, what are we talking about here? Late 90s? So how old were you in the late 90s? How's my math
here?
Well,
I was born in 85, so, you know, in 96, I was 11.
Okay, yeah, that's a good formative time to really start hating the other team. I mean, you really can get into it.
So that's the exact age of my son right now. And I have so many, you know, my memory is so bad, but I have so many memories of the Avalanche and their run through that period. And that's when I became an Avalanche fan. And my son became an Avalanche fan over the last couple months, mainly because he got to go to a game. That certainly helped a lot. But now, like, that's the exact same age, and he's going to remember that stuff, too, because you don't forget championships.
Yeah, the text line, the documentary was amazing. D-Mac is 100% right, though, totally slanted towards Detroit. Yeah,
see, everybody I've talked to said it's amazing, though. They've been like, you got to see it.
You got to see it. Okay, yes, you got to see it. Well, you see it and you tell me.
All right.
They just conveniently left out a lot of things on the Colorado side of things. That's all. They kind of got through those things like, oh, and the Avs won 2 cups during that time. The Red Wings won 3. It's like, oh, okay. I really just felt like I was watching a Red Wings documentary, to be quite honest with you. Hmm. And the enemy was specifically Claude Lemieux. But I don't know, it's part of the history. You know what's interesting in that? Gary Bettman was part of it, and he did point out you just don't have things like that really in the NHL anymore. There's way less fighting, and what he pointed out is you just don't have the appointment fights. You have fights of passion more than appointment fighting.
Yeah, you've got Nathan MacKinnon getting ticked off, and all of a sudden you've got a fight that you probably shouldn't have, but it's not Scott Parker going out there and getting vengeance.
Curtis McDermott had zero ice time. Zero. In the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. Two months. And that dude played, we'd have to look it up, but I bet he had over 70 games, something like that, for the Avs this year. 0 minutes during the playoffs. Zero. Yeah.
You know what's weird about our current run, and I guess the run just began, I kind of think of the last couple of years as a part of the run because it feels like it was just a slow build, and they were great teams that you had high expectations for. They don't really have like a hated rival like the Red Wings. Like
right
Minnesota,
now?
That was building for a while, you kind of had the wild. St. Louis, you played them twice in the playoffs. That's got to be a little bit of a rival. Who's the Avalanche? Like who do you hate that the Avalanche play? Who do you hate?
Oh man. To me,
Minnesota's the closest for me.
I was going to say Vegas right now.
Is that just your pain, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think so. And they're cheaters, and they got Eichel. But Minnesota's good. It's not really like that. Yeah, Curtis McDermott played in 58 games. I got 58. 58 games for the Avs this year out of 82. In the regular season, and didn't play 1 second. 58 out of 82, didn't play 1 second in the playoffs. It's different. Things are just, I guarantee if it was 1997 and you're playing the Red Wings in the conference final, I guarantee you Curtis McDermott.
Yeah, the game's different. There's no question the game's different.
Is the game better because of that?
Well, I think there are aspects. I like the way it is right now. I think there's an appropriate amount of fighting going on in the NHL today. I would not want fights to go away entirely.
What do we get in the Stanley Cup final?
There were punches thrown in game six. There were a handful of punches thrown. And there were no penalties because of it. But there were punches thrown. There were scrums. I think that in today's game, a fight is earned. And there's still a time and place for it. So I do like the evolution of the game, but I don't want fighting to ever go away entirely.
I think the only like fight that I remember out of the Stanley Cup final was O'Connor fighting.
Well,
other than that,
game
like
six, there were plenty of scrums. I wouldn't say there were full on fights, but there were plenty of scrums.
Yeah,
and there were definitely punches thrown.
Yeah, Logan though squared off. That was that's a fight. But that was it. Yeah, and there's push and shove and all that sort of stuff.
I would have fought Evander Kane. If I was out there, I would have fought that dude.
But that's the thing, man. Every moment of the playoffs is just so tense. Every single second out there feels so important. And it did feel like that's how the Avs got over on a lot of these teams. So you say you would have fought them.
What do you mean?
Oh, the Avs.
Because they didn't get caught up in the nonsense?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's true. Sure, that is true. I mean, they put their guys out there, they put their best players on ice, and they told them to skate away. Number one, because they don't want injury. Number two, because they know that they don't want anybody getting any power plays. So skating away in the playoffs makes sense. But, you know, if you would have had to play Edmonton a game or two more, at some point somebody would have had to handle Evander Kane because he was going to get somebody hurt. He was doing dumb things.
Well, he got his butt suspended. And then he can think about it the rest of the year because that was the last game he played.
Yeah, congrats.
Suck it. All right, question for
Enjoy
Tyler.
The casino.
Mount Palumbus Peak is next.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus.
There he is.
Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
Fred from Westminster chimes in. Mount Palumbus Peak is presented by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. Tyler, what sport is more injury-prone, NFL or NHL? I want to know your research.
Mount Palumbus Peak.
What up, Fred? Well, according to my very scientific research that I've done none of, I'll speak from experience. Here's what I think. I think that the NFL, I think the football has got more violent injuries, like bigger injuries that are more obvious. They're more season ending. It's definitely the most violent sport in the world. It is more violent than hockey. Hockey is a close second, but it's more violent. But I think that hockey players are some of the toughest human beings on planet Earth. Man, I could not respect them anymore. When I look at the length of their season, they played for like 10 months straight. They're going to get like 6 weeks off and they're going to go play hockey again. And they just do it for another year. It's non-stinking stop. So I think they've got more repetitive injuries than football players do. We've got time off to heal. We've got a whole week in between games that we get to heal up. It feels to me on scientific research that NFL suffers the more knees, the ACLs, like the very traumatic injuries, but all the small stuff that adds up over time for hockey players. You were talking about it yesterday. Remind us, all the guys that were playing through insane injuries that we didn't even know what they were going through in the finals.
Well, I think Nathan had something the whole time, and you wouldn't have known it. Cale Makar definitely had something after game two, Stanley Cup final, but again, you wouldn't know it. Val Nichushkin, Nichushkin, sorry, I think he had a thigh issue and a foot issue at the same time. He could barely walk after game five here. It was crazy to see him hobble out, and he was better the next day. Burakovsky not only had a thumb that had surgery, which we didn't know about, he had a broken foot. So when he scored the game one winner against the Lightning, he had a broken foot when he scored that goal. How crazy was that? And maybe Darcy Kuemper has some sort of nerve damage in his eye, or who knows what he's really going through.
Yeah.
But it's injury, not because he's soft or mentally weak or nothing like that. He has an injury with his eye.
They are all insanely banged up.
Should I keep going?
Kadri got he had surgery,
right,
and came back in a week. Cogs is out there. It's nuts. So I think they deal with more injuries and they play through more pain. Let me take you through my week in the NFL. I wake up Sunday morning and my body feels terrible, but I'm like, okay, I know I got the Toradol shot coming up here. My adrenaline's going to kick in. I go get my Toradol shot in the afternoon. Adrenaline kicks in. Game day comes around. I got plenty of adrenaline. I feel good. I go out and I play the game. Monday morning, I wake up. I can barely walk. Tuesday, I'm hitting the massage therapist. I've got the chiropractor. I'm going to the cold tub, the hot tub. I've got a process. Wednesday, we got a practice. And I walk out on that field, and I can barely walk out on that field. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to pull this off? Your body finally gets warmed up about an hour into it. Thursday, you feel slightly better. Friday, you're like, uh-oh, we're only 2 days away from this game. I don't know how I'm going to be able to play. Saturday, this hurts. I'm not going to be able to do it. Sunday, you find a way. My point is, we have an entire week to heal up. Hockey players, they just keep going, and they do it the next day.
Yep.
I couldn't respect them more for the amount of pain that they have to play through and how quickly they do it.
I kind of downplayed it, to be quite honest with you. I definitely reported that Nichushkin had a problem walking. So I reported it. I did say it. I said it right when I saw it because I was live on the air. But I wasn't completely wholly honest about how bad it was. I kind of tried to put a spin on it like, hey, at least he's walking. Like, he's not he didn't have a boot. He doesn't have crutches. He's not in a wheelchair. But, dude, I'm telling you, Tyler, this is after game five. And I'm watching. I'm like, I don't know how this guy plays a game in 2 days.
Yep.
There he was. And then we saw the photo afterwards, and you were like, oh, okay. I get it. I get how hurt he really was.
Kadri can't tie his own skates.
Can't
he has to have somebody
skates.
Tie his skates for him. But he's able to score goals in the finals. What are we talking about?
By the way, he is healthy enough in Mile High Spirits to take a drink out of the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
So we found that out.
Well, all you need is your palm and your fingers to hold that thing up.
Look at that.
Don't need a thumb.
Hey, Tyler. He actually said Taylor.
Do you
get that a lot? The Taylor thing?
When I go to Starbucks and stuff, sure.
Taylor!
Yeah, Taylor. Taylor.
Grande Americano for Taylor.
Why don't you just write tall guy?
Do you have more heat for the Red Wings or Nebraska?
Columbus. Speed.
Yeah, D-Mac. There's nothing that's going to outweigh my hate for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That one's numero uno, and that's never going to go away. There was a rule that Bill McCartney issued to the Colorado football team, and anybody that worked inside the Dal Ward Athletic Center, you didn't wear red, ever. That was a thing. I mean, we had a red game. That was Nebraska. It was no secret. We were trying to beat them. We were trying to beat them. Hated their guts as a kid. You got to keep in mind, my dad played at CU. I was born a Buff. I was bred to be a Buff, and I actually became a Buff. I hate the Nebraska Cornhuskers with a passion. So as much as I hate the Red Wings, I do hate the Cornhuskers more.
Do you really hate them?
Yeah.
You hate them?
Yeah.
Do you hate people that played for them?
Will Compton, hate your guts. Adam Carriker, you're probably listening, hate your guts. No, actually, I take that back. Adam's been going through a lot of tough stuff, to be totally honest. And I love Adam, and I love Will. Totally take that back. Prayers are with Adam right now.
So you don't hate them?
Do not hate them at all. But I hate the program. I hate Red. I hate the university. I hate what they represent. I don't hate
what
the people.
What do they represent?
Nebraska. You know, I did take a recruiting visit to Nebraska. As much as hate as I had for them growing up.
Yeah, what was that about?
So I took visits to Notre Dame, to Stanford, Arizona, Nebraska, and Colorado. and they're all kind of random all over the place. Some are good at football, some are academics. Nebraska was not pure
academics.
That was definitely not academics.
No.
But I took a recruiting trip out there just because they were a top 10 football team, and it was impressive, and they were recruiting me.
Yeah.
And they offered me to play tight end, and that sounded appealing. I eventually figured it out that was just a recruiting tactic to get me in because they're dirty people.
And they was just
and then they put me a tackle.
Right.
Anyways, I did go out there, and you know what I did on my recruiting visit? 18 years old, you know, you hear about all the wild, crazy things that happen on these parties.
At Nebraska?
You know, Lincoln? What I did in Nebraska?
Go to the general store? I don't know.
Well, a little bit better than that.
What'd you do?
I went to the arcade. They took me to the arcade.
Ski ball?
On my official visit to Nebraska. They did have go-karts. The go-karts were pretty fun.
Can you fit in a go-kart?
Yeah, I'm a little crumpled up, but sure.
So your night was go-kart night.
That was the recruiting
trip. What was your recruiting night at CU like?
We don't talk about that.
There you go. We don't talk about certain things around here. We don't talk about Bruno, and we don't talk.
Don't talk about recruiting.
We don't talk about recruiting nights. There's too many people that have already talked about those.
Unfortunately,
problem.
Yes.
All right, game ball's next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We don't talk about Bruno, no, no, no. We don't talk about Bruno.
We just heard stories that we don't talk about.
We don't talk about. And we don't talk about Will Smith's wife.
Do not do that.
We don't talk about her. We don't talk about,
I want to pull a D-Mac right now.
Go for it. It worked out well for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Pulling D-Macs.
Somebody that's a friend spoke to my wife in a manner that I didn't appreciate. I'm trying to figure out how to handle this situation. I can't. No, wait. I've gone too far.
What?
It's a legit friend. It's a legit friend.
Face to face?
On the phone? Oh, I'm doing it face to face.
No, no, no. Yeah. Where did the
phone? I can't do it. I mean, now that it's, I can't give more details, but let's just say I don't talk about my wife either.
Are you being serious?
I am being serious. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I had a good friend, talked to my wife in an inappropriate way, and we were best friends. And the way he talked to my wife, we didn't talk for 20 years.
So I'm worried about that. I am. Yep.
Well, if I gave you it's the nature of what he was talking about, I think you can pretty much guess what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yikes.
Like that.
Yeah, they're no longer friends. No, that's not what this one was.
He was joking around with her, and then he got a little too serious about things.
Oh, were they friends?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my wife and he were really good friends. I mean, we were all friends. I was friend was with his wife, and then you got a little randy.
All right, so that was my bad. We don't talk about that either. Okay. But I'll let you know later how it goes.
All right, sounds good. So where's the Stanley Cup going to be tonight? Listen, we like our little spies. We don't want to get anybody in trouble, but if it's on public consumption, so Mile High Spirits was the joint last night. We know the Cup is going to be a Coors Field, according to Troy Rank, tomorrow, and then the parade, of course, we'll see it again. But I'm going to guess it's just on tour all over the place. So we'll see. We'll see who's hanging with the Cup. And we'll be hanging at the parade on Thursdays. We're broadcasting all day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Bezel inside the Denver Sheraton Downtown Hotel. My pal Parker, the snow dog, just reached out, Tyler. Parker and his pal Dustin reached out. They're going to be down there.
I saw that. I'm going to try to hook up with them.
Yep. So Bezel. And hopefully they love great dogs at Bezel.
My kids are going to be there. They love Parker.
Who doesn't love Parker? It's presented by, I got a couple of sponsors here. Let me get this.
Get this one right.
Presented by TNT Home Services and Sam's Number 3. Right on. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. The Rockies tonight going against the Dodgers. They had an incredible game last night.
Give me a Rockies update. I'm so checked out on the Colorado Rockies. Well, I have no clue what's going on with them.
All right. Let me spin things in a positive manner. of all the last place teams, they're not the, they have the second best record of all the last place teams in their division.
That's good. Or, well, it's not as bad as it could be.
Right.
So that's like good.
Of all the last place teams, they're second best.
So it's not as bad as somebody else has it. Somebody has actually got it worse.
Well, of the last place teams, there's four teams that have it worse.
Wow. Take that, all those four teams.
So there's that.
I lasted longer than I have in a long, long time at the Rockies this year. I made it like a full month into the season. I was watching the games, went to a couple. I was paying attention, all the scores.
Let me give you.
And then they just reminded me that they are who I thought they were, and I checked out and I gave up on them.
Let me give you all the teams that they're better than. They're better than the Cincinnati Reds, Chicago Cubs, Pittsburgh Pirates, Washington Nationals, better than the Oakland Athletics, Billy Bean.
Wow. Take that, Moneyball.
That's right. Why don't you write a movie about that?
Right. Kansas, we've been trying Moneyball for years. It doesn't work.
They're better than the Royals and the Tigers. That's it. And that's who we're better than.
And they
beat the Dodgers in a 3-hit shutout with Chad.
So that totally could have been a worse update. Could have been a worse update.
They got a game against the Dodgers tonight down there at Coors Field. And if you're going, bring a rain jacket. You might get some sprinkles on you, but you'll live.
Yes, yes. You know, D-Mac, we are a station of many skills. We've got a lot of talented people around here. I'd like to think we're good at what we do and our profession. You know, we've got wordsmiths that work here. We've got artists that work here. We've got brute strength here at this station.
Thank God we have brute strength.
Yeah, we got brute strength. Now, none of us are quite as strong as we used to be, except for Stokely's twice as strong as he ever was as a player.
We don't drug test here for steroids.
A little bit weird. D-Mac, you could win a battle of wits against somebody. You've got skills. You know, one skill set that I did not know that Richie Carney had, that Ross Sharon had. I didn't know that Nate Jackson had this skill set. But I didn't know about Richie. I didn't know about Ross. They are actual musicians. They're artists. And we're talking about the Stanley Cup. We need a song. We need an intro for it. I asked for it this morning. I got to tell you, they came up with the most beautiful song I've ever heard for Where is Lord Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Well, he'll go around the world from Sweden to Finland. He's a slightly dented trophy coming from Tampa Bay. You hold him way up high, skating in the arena. Tell me where in the world is the Stanley Cup?
So I do admit that the sixth or seventh time we've played that today gets a little bit worse every time I hear it. But the first time, I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Richie, didn't know you had that skill set. Raj, I didn't know you had that skill set. Nate, I thought you might do a little bit better than that.
Wait a second.
But it's a hell of a song, and all three of you guys get a game ball for me today.
We are in the sports void if they get a game ball for that.
They get a game ball. I already gave the Avalanche a game ball. I mean, you want me to give a game ball to Mike Chambers? Who do you want me to?
Mike, you're
in the clear, my friend. Game ball goes to you for being in the clear. Who else you want to give a game ball to? I got to give it to those three guys because that is artistry at its finest. Can't wait to hear what our guys, Orlando Franklin and Cecil Lammy have to say coming up next.
Let's go.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.